Hare Krishna. Question: is the religionist's God different from the philosopher's God? Answer: first, we need to understand what these two concepts mean before we can understand whether they are different or the same. Generally, the concept religionist's God refers to a God who is the object of worship and devotion. This refers to the God who is prayed to and whose grace is sought. So as I said, this is the God of worship and of devotion. Whereas the philosopher's God is generally a God whose existence and power is inferred through philosophical analysis. So for example, people may do some philosophical reasoning and think that, oh, that world exists, so this world has some order. Therefore, this world must come from somewhere. And that somewhere, that source of this world, must be God. And in this way, the God who is more a focus of abstraction and meditation, and intellectual meditation. Abstraction means intellectual conceptualization and subsequent meditation. That God is called as the philosopher's God. Whereas the religionist's God is the God who is the object of worship and devotion. Now, are the two different? No, they are different conceptions of the same God. Conceptions that are arrived based on different notions which different people have, or different focuses that different people have in their lives. So, for example, when people are on the karma marga, at that time the conception of God they have is largely the conception of a religionist God, where the idea is that we worship God, we praise Him, and we become devoted to Him, and then He gives us certain things in return. So there is a certain amount of assurance to the idea of such a God, because in the idea of such a God, there is satisfaction. Oh, God exists and God will provide for me. That there is somebody who will take care of me. In contrast, the philosopher's God is more a jnani conception of God. Now, often, generally we say that the path of jnana leads to impersonalism. A lot of intellectual abstraction leads to a conception of God which is different from, which is more of a concept than a person. So, for example, Aristotle talked about the unmoved mover. So, his idea of a God was a person who was not at all a person who did anything. He just set things in motion, and afterwards he is so perfect that he doesn't have to do anything. So such a conception of God is like a frozen perfection. That God as a concept is perfect, and that's how he stays eternally, and therefore he does not have to do anything more than that. So now this conception of God is a very, as I said, an abstract conception of God, which may hold a certain intellectual appeal to certain people. But this is not the God of religion. This is not the God where one can devote oneself to. So now, that means the God of religion has emotional appeal, but it does not have much of an intellectual appeal. Because the point is that we may say that there is a God who will protect me, who will take care of me. But then sometimes, in spite of praying to the God, things may not be taken care of. Or for that matter, sometimes taking care of one person may require harming another person. So does the God take care of me and harm someone else, or how do things work out? It will be very confusing. So it is not a very intellectually satisfactory conception of God. On the other hand, the intellectual conception of God does not give much emotional satisfaction. So beyond the religious God and beyond the philosopher's God is the spiritualist's God. It is the God who is talked about in the concept of bhakti. Bhakti is the most evolved form of spirituality, and this conception of God is both emotionally and intellectually appealing. And how is it this way? Because the Bhagavad Gita offers this conception of God, wherein there is distinctive emphasis on bhakti, but there is tremendous grounding in philosophy on which this emphasis on bhakti is established. So the idea is that the religion's God is the God who does things for us. And the philosopher's God is the God whom we just meditate on. But these two conceptions of God are joined together in the understanding that this God is not just a matter, as the Bhagavatam says, not just a matter of dhimahi, that is the philosopher's God. Where, you know, meditate on that absolute truth. But then it is Muhuraha Rasika Bhuvibhavukaha Pimita Bhagavata Rasalim. This is the God to be relished. So if you could consider the negative axis, zero, and positive axis. So the religionist God is a God who it is promised will take care of us at the negative axis level. That means, at the negative axis level means that where we have problems, God will solve those problems. We have desires, God will fulfill those desires. Now, as I said, in the material level, not all desires can be fulfilled, not all problems can be solved. And therefore, this conception of God is intellectually unsatisfactory. From there, we come to the zero, where, on the origin point, where we have the philosopher's God, where God is not so much a matter of emotional reciprocation as just intellectual conceptualization. But beyond the philosopher's God is the devotee's God, whom we meditate on spiritually and whom we emotionally relate spiritually with spiritual emotions. So rather than thinking of God and what he will do for us at the material level, the focus shifts to how we can reciprocate love with him at a spiritual level. So are the religious God and the philosopher's God concepts which are of referring to different gods? No. They are different conceptions of the same God, and the fullest conception of that God is understood at the spiritual level, where the appeal of both the religious God and the philosopher's God is reconciled and elevated to its highest form. Thank you. Hare Krishna.